if you really love your doctor, you could bring him or her this book. What's the book called and what's the message?
The book is called The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. The author is Nina Teichholz, whom we have on air this morning.
Paleo dieters, why are they still around? That's still very popular. But it seems like the one thing that everybody can pretty much agree upon is that saturated fat is bad for you. Meat is bad for you. Saturated fat's the kind that's found in animal foods, in milk, cream, cheese, eggs, red meat is bad for you. And everybody agrees upon that. And, you know, that's what we're told.
And the reason why people need to run out and buy this book is because they're going to be able to finally get the truth about healthy eating, and they're going to be able to prevent a lot of illness that we're seeing on a regular basis, sadly, in this province.
And that our dietary recommendations have been most obsessed about. There are basically three macronutrients out there. There's protein, carbohydrates, and fat. And our recommendations have been obsessed about fat, non-fat, good fat, bad fat, low fat, you know, what kind of fats should we eat? And that's been, you know, for most people our age, kind of like the story of our lifetime in eating.
And it's because of all this illness, of course, that this province is on the verge of bankruptcy. We have to reverse this health crisis. And one of the ways to do that is by getting truthful nutritional information, which is what this book provides.
So there it is. The book is called The Big Fat Surprise. I'm holding it in my hand. The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. I'm going to call London City Police a little later this morning to see how many vegetarians just drove off the road. Folks, I want to start this hour with the story of a woman who was a vegan here in London. She was a vegan for 9 years and got so sick she almost died. And her name is Pam Colleen. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Andy. How are you today?
That was a rough patch.
Well, you know, when you become vegan, a lot of people actually feel better at first. And that's part of the lure into believing that it is indeed a healthier diet. I do meet a lot of people who become vegan and within a few weeks they realize it's not right. And so they intuitively know to go back to their standard fare. But unfortunately, there are a lot of vegans who, when they feel better initially, they stick with it simply because of that memory of feeling better at first. And that's what I did. That's what many vegans do. I have a lot of clients who are recovering near vegetarians, vegetarians, and vegans. The sickest clients I work with are the ones who were vegan. By the time they realize how sick the diet has made them, they are so weak, they can hardly digest red meat. They can hardly digest high-fat cheese. They have trouble in their digestive system. And so when they return to these traditional foods, foods that their ancestors did very, very well on, their stomach, their intestines kind of go into shock. So they have to gradually reintroduce these foods into their diet. And then eventually, over time, they'll be fine. But it's hard because, like, I posted an announcement of this interview on my Facebook page. And strangely enough, I have a vegan in my Facebook group, which is, I find very bizarre because they should know that I warn all vegans about the diet. And this girl refuses to read Nina's book. She refuses to read other books like The Vegetarian Myth. And she's convinced that a vegan diet is healthy for her. And I just, you know, my heart goes out to these people. They have to learn the hard way. And that's how I learned. That's how many of them learn.
How many people who are listening this morning, how many people in the city of London, what fraction of the population do you think is living what you call the low-fat lie?
Oh, the vast majority of people in London are following a low-fat diet. They are essentially near vegetarians. And I was happy to read in this book that Nina points out that category of diet. That is the standard fare. That is what Health Canada is recommending. It is a near vegetarian diet. If people are following the low-fat diet, they are going to be malnourished. They are not going to get adequate nutrition.
Before we hook up with our author, I just want to take a moment, folks. If you have been where Pam has been, if you have been living the low-fat lie, as Pam likes to call it, I'd love to hear from you. 643-1290. And do you believe the premise of this book? Nice, big, juicy steak, ribs, in fact, on the front of this book. It's called The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. So I just want to start, before we connect with our author, to ask you whether you believe that or not. 643-1290. We'll turn it around, do a little open phone segment right off the top. Do you believe it or not? Let's hear from you. 643-1290. Back in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. if you really love your doctor, you could bring him or her this book. What's the book called and what's the message?
The book is called The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. The author is Nina Teichholz, whom we have on air this morning.
Paleo dieters, why are they still around? That's still very popular. But it seems like the one thing that everybody can pretty much agree upon is that saturated fat is bad for you. Meat is bad for you. Saturated fat's the kind that's found in animal foods, in milk, cream, cheese, eggs, red meat is bad for you. And everybody agrees upon that. And, you know, that's what we're told.
And the reason why people need to run out and buy this book is because they're going to be able to finally get the truth about healthy eating, and they're going to be able to prevent a lot of illness that we're seeing on a regular basis, sadly, in this province.
So there it is. Her name is Nina. She's got a hot new book out called The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. We're waiting to connect with Nina. We hope to do that shortly. Pam Colleen, tell us about this book. It's just out, hot off the press.
Hot off the press, and the media is picking up on this story in a rather favorable way, I'm very happy to say. A lot of people in the media, when they hear that animal fat never joined the dark side, you see some articles surfacing basically trying to defend the high-carbohydrate, low-fat diet. And now we're seeing a change in tune, Andy. And this is what I'm very, very pleased to see. And even Margaret Wente from the Globe and Mail, just to give you a quote from a recent article she wrote about this book, she said, to start with, saturated fat won't raise your cholesterol and give you heart attacks. Neither will butter or cheese. Do you hanker after a juicy marbled piece of steak? Help yourself. New research published this March in the Annals of Internal Medicine found that saturated fat doesn't cause heart disease. And that's one of the big messages in Nina's book, is that when you look back at the history of the connection allegedly between saturated fat and heart disease, there really isn't any research to show there's a connection between the two.
I have to laugh about Margaret Wente's article, which I read, and I found it fascinating. You talk about mainstream, Margaret Wente in the Globe and Mail endorsing this book and sharing the amazing story of her father, which I really related to. My dad always loved fatty meats.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was on to him, you got to let up. But he just loved it and wouldn't hear of it. And I spoke at his funeral when he died at 95, thinking and got quite the laugh from people about how long he might have lived.
Some of the information we're hearing today is that we are eating too much meat. And I was happy to see in Nina's book that she busts this myth, because I knew that we were eating less red meat than throughout history. And I went in and did my own research to prove that that was a fallacy. And I was really pleased to see how well she covered that story in this book. And what the average person could do if they don't get this book, if they don't buy Nina's book, is just go into historical references from the 1800s. Just look at old magazines, old cookbooks dating back into the 1800s, and you'll see that our diet back in that era was extremely high in red meat.
Let's talk about the vegetarians who are out there. I mean, you walked this valley for 9 years as a vegan. Are they, and they're still out there, these folks, and you're saying the majority of people do not believe the very premise of this book, The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. People are, when they have butter today, when they have meat or cheese, they do it with guilt.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of fear-mongering going on out there, and some of it is valid. You know, the problems with factory farming, that was the topic of my first book, The Great Bird Flu Hoax. They're not wrong. There is a problem with factory farming, but there are alternatives. You can still readily, especially in the London area, where we're very fortunate to have lots of organic farms where the animals are outside on pasture, and you can look these farms up by going to a website called London Area Organic Growers. So we are fortunate to find humanely raised animals here in the London area. But so because we can find alternatives, the argument against buying factory farm food really doesn't have a lot of credibility. The trouble with the issue around sustainability is that when people are not eating animal foods because they're worried that, it's not sustainable, it's not sustainable to be a vegan. Because unfortunately, where vegans are concerned, they're going to end up feeling very fatigued, depressed, brain fogged. They're going to end up infertile, which was the reason essentially behind a vegan diet, was to kill people's libido. So it's not sustainable to be vegan. So I just don't see, there's a huge disconnect between their rationale around sustainability, because the vegans are going to die off. They will die off. And that's not sustainable. So we can't go back to, we can't go towards a heavy plant-based diet.
Well, we're waiting to hook up with the author. And folks, it's live radio. We're hoping to do that. We'll see whether we hook up with Nina or not. Let me ask you about what's happening down the street, literally two blocks away. The opening as of 2 hours ago of something that ties in with all of this, and that is good food, good nutritional food. We have the opening of Farm Boy. The grand opening is this Saturday. We hope to connect with those folks shortly.
I'm excited. I'm going to go to Farm Boy right after the show because I want to see this new operation. And I gather the CEO has done a ton of research looking for local foods, and I'm sure within his store we're going to find grass-fed beef. I'm hoping to find grass-fed beef and pastured chicken, pastured eggs. This is the alternative that I'm talking about, that I think more and more, because of consumer demand, because consumers are getting educated on these issues, I think we're going to see more and more of these types of stores opening up where we can get more humanely raised animal foods and maybe even certified organic produce.
Well, the store opens today, folks, and we will be talking to the folks at Farm Boy very shortly. Let's go to the phones and see what's on your mind. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Maybe this is a question that I could direct towards Pam. Pam, Dr. Oz has a huge influence, you know, because he's seen by so many different people, and he's admitted that they've been wrong about saturated fat, which is a huge step. But he's concerned about a study that was done at the Cleveland Clinic regarding the L-carnitine in red meat. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether you're familiar with that study, that it's converted to a product in the intestines called TMOA, I think it is, or a TMO or something like that, that he feels is causing some issues. Have you heard anything about this study or...
Yeah, I took a look at it when it came out, but you have to go back, I think, a few steps. You know, a great source of carnitine is going to be red meat. And carnitine is really important in terms of generating energy in the body. And I don't know about you, but I'm of Irish and Scottish descent, and my ancestors ate quite a bit of meat, and they were very, very healthy. So we have to still go back to common sense, unfortunately, because a lot of the nutritional research today is extremely flawed and lacks a lot of common sense.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to continue to see this kind of research, tragically. But I think people need to be very grounded and understand that our ancestors never had to think about diet. They never had to put a thought to it because they used wisdom.
Yeah.
And that is what's lacking in nutritional information going out there today.
Yeah, I'm a little bit skeptical on some of these studies too, because then you turn around and find out, well, you'd need 6,000 milligrams a day to cause these problems. Some of it's not even done in humans, it's done on mice. And there's so many flaws, as you say, in some of these studies.
Right. You have to be able to, when you hear nutritional advice today, this is what I teach my students, is I tell them, ask yourself these questions when you're hearing this information. Does this nutritional information prove that couples are fertile, that babies are healthy, that there's no chronic or mental illness in society, that the aging are aging gracefully, and that they are still productive members of society in their senior years? You have to look at all of those questions and look at the longevity of the information you're hearing. It has to be proven generation after generation after generation.
John, let me ask you before we let you go, are you convinced that so many of the health issues that we see in society today are related to bad nutrition?
Oh, I think so. I totally agree, Andy. It's just bad information, studies that have never really materialized, and I really believe that part of a healthy diet, you need some saturated fats in there for sure, a good quality saturated fats to maintain brain health. They're finding that saturated fats, the brain is what, 80-90% fat, so it makes sense to feed it. And there's so much dementia going on these days and so on because we've gotten away from eating these healthy saturated fats.
And I don't know about you, but I'm a guy, I'm a carnivore, and when I read why butter, meat, and cheese belong in a healthy diet, I don't even know this author, but if I ever meet her, I'm going to give her a big hug.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Okay. Good for you, John.
Terrific. We have now connected with the author, but I wanted to quickly take a call from Carol. Carol, go ahead.
Hi. How do we know for sure that it's organic and that they fed them a certain way? How do the customers know this.
Right. You have to do your due diligence. And again, you know, I repeat on the show quite often, people are going to do the best they can with what they have available. When people are looking for pasture-raised animal foods, you can go to the farm to actually witness it yourself. So you have to do, you have to ask a lot of questions. You have to do a lot of research. Like I said, here in London, Ontario, we have probably a dozen farms in the area where they are pasture raising their chicken, their beef, and so on. And you can go to the website London Area Organic Growers to find these wonderful farmers.
Well, there we go. We're going to take a short break. We have connected with Nina, and we'll be back with Nina, the author of the book, The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. I will try to figure out during the commercial how to hug someone who you love, even though you've never met them, just from their message, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. Nina will join Pam, Colleen, and me in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
If you really love your doctor, you could bring him or her this book. What's the book called and what's the message?
The book is called The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. The author is Nina Tykols, whom we have on air this morning.
Paleo dieters, why are they still around? That's still very popular. But it seems like the one thing that everybody can pretty much agree upon is that saturated fat is bad for you. Meat is bad for you. Saturated fat's the kind that's found in animal foods, in milk, cream, cheese, eggs, red meat is bad for you. And everybody agrees upon that. And, you know, that's what we're told.
And the reason why people need to run out and buy this book is because they're going to be able to finally get the truth about healthy eating, and they're going to be able to prevent a lot of illness that we're seeing on a regular basis, sadly, in this province.
And that our dietary recommendations have been most obsessed about. There are basically three macronutrients out there. There's protein, carbohydrates, and fat. And our recommendations have been obsessed about fat, non-fat, good fat, bad fat, low fat, you know, what kind of fat should we eat? And that's been, you know, for most people our age, kind of like the story of our lifetime in eating.
And it's because of all this illness, of course, that this province is on the verge of bankruptcy. We have to reverse this health crisis. And one of the ways to do that is by getting truthful nutritional information, which is what this book provides.
10:32 now. Pam, it just struck me. Someone planted this in my brain years and years ago, and I've resented it ever since. Why is it that everything that tastes good is bad for you? And now this lovely lady, Nina, comes along and says, that's not true.
That's right.
Milk. I mean, these are my favorites. Milk and cream and cheese and eggs and
bacon.
When
you take the saturated fat out of food, it doesn't taste so good anymore. We want that saturated fat, not just for the flavor, but because it carries tons of very beneficial nutrients.
Well, it's a delightful message. I hope Deb Matthews is listening this morning. Of course, we'll find out whether or not she's going to be the health minister any longer. But would you introduce Nina?
Oh, I'm thrilled this morning to have on air Nina Tykols. And she has just released this fabulous book called The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. And I'm so pleased to see that mainstream media is talking about this book in a favorable way. Finally, the mainstream media seems to be embracing the importance of animal fat in the diet. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning, Nina.
Thank you for having me on. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, Nina, let me make an analogy here. A pig is pregnant for 3 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days. A human mom is pregnant for 40 weeks. An elephant is pregnant for 28 months. My goodness, when you gave birth to this book recently, I mean, you'd been pregnant with this book for how many years?
That's so funny. Oh, well, 9 years of research and work on it. And that's mainly because the literature in nutrition is just so vast. It really is huge, and I had to become a student and an expert in it. And also, one of the things that I did was I really went back to all the original studies upon which our dietary recommendations have been based, all those early studies going back to the 1940s, and I really dug down into that data to find out how flawed it really was. Groups of scientists, there are two groups of scientists now who have gone back and looked through all that early data, so I'm not the only one, and really reevaluated it. And that's why you've seen recently some of these headlines saying, you know, saturated fats do not actually cause heart disease. We've been avoiding meat, cheese, butter, dairy, eggs because we believe the saturated fats in those foods cause heart disease, but it turns out that the data was never good and has since really fallen apart.
Okay, there are two chapters that jump out at me, and I don't want to get too buried in the history, especially because we have a very limited time to get into the substance. But basically, before we get into the last chapter, chapter 10, why saturated fat is good for you, just a real quick history lesson. How did we ever get to buy the low-fat diet lie?
Well, the first dietary recommendation against saturated fat, which is the one in animal foods, was in 1961. It was published by the American Heart Association. But then it was first just saturated fats, and fat in general or vegetable fats were thought to be okay. And then that recommendation kind of morphed into distrusting fats altogether, because based on this very rudimentary idea that because fat has more calories per gram than other foods, fat just must make you fat because it is more calorically dense. But it really turns out that, you know, your body does not treat all calories in the same way. It is very hard, if not impossible, to overeat on meat. You know, the experiments they did where they would stack up pork chops in front of prison inmates and said, eat them, the men would, you know, said, we cannot eat any more of that. You cannot overeat on protein and fat, whereas studies show you can easily overeat on carbohydrates, breads, crackers, cookies, popcorn, all that stuff. So we just came to distrust fat altogether as kind of just a sort of intuitive but scientifically sloppy argument. And then we all started eating low-fat foods, which are higher in carbohydrates, because if you take out the fat, you take out the flavor, the texture, and you have to put something back in to replace those. And what that ends up being is carbohydrates, often just sugar. So it is a long and complicated story how we got to where we are today, because obviously there were critics along the way. There are institutions, the National Institutes of Health, and, you know, and also the Canadian Health Association. It's an amazing story, and that's why it took me 9 years to really sort through it all and try to really understand the people, the players, and how it all happened.
But initially, the journey was rather difficult for you to accept. I mean, I used to be animal food phobic. Millions of people throughout North America are still animal food phobic. It took you a while before you got used to this idea that we had been duped.
Well, I was a vegetarian, basically, when I started, and struggled mightily to avoid fat in my diet. And it took a long time for this information to seep in. It's very hard to change your eating habits. People eat the way they do based on taste, but also ethical beliefs, habit. And it took me years before I could even take a raw piece of red meat and cook it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I've really changed a lot, but it's very hard to reckon with changing your fundamental beliefs about food. And we're in the third generation now of a universe of experts, nutritionists, doctors, believing that fat and saturated fat are bad for you, which is one of the reasons that that my book and others who have challenged this nutritional wisdom have been outsiders. We have no preconceived notions, and we come from the outside. I'm an investigative journalist. But if I had come up through the school of nutrition, I never would have even thought to ask the questions that I did.
Nina, I have to tell you that one of the things that I've enjoyed so much about this nutritional journey that I've been on with Pam Killeen over the years is so much of what she's saying is not only being shared by the mainstream media, but more and more books are coming out proving that everything that Pam has been saying over the last few years are true. And let me give you one example. Are you familiar with Margaret Winty of the Globe and Mail? She recently did an article praising your book. I just want to read two paragraphs. She starts it off by saying, this is from May 17th article in the Globe and Mail. For years, I've been trying to eat properly. You know what that means. Lean meat, not too much fat, lots of fruit, vegetables, and healthy whole grains. Sullenly, I embraced fiber. Recently, I gave up butter and cheese. Conscientiously, I ate as much broccoli and Brussels sprouts as I could stomach. cruciferous vegetables are especially good for preventing cancer. She says, I even tried switching to fake salt, which was awful. My dad did the same after his second heart attack. He gave up booze and fat and salt, chowed down on tasteless, skinless chicken, and lived to a relatively ripe old age, griping all the way. Here's what the latest scientific findings have to say about all of that. Fair. Okay, let's go now to let's go to the last paragraph of her article. So sorry about that, Dad. You gave up steak for nothing. As for the rest of us, here's my best advice. Eat real food that you like, but not too much. Avoid sugars and carbs. Stay hydrated. And if you go to Paris, make sure to have lots of cheese. Articles like that must just make you smile, Nina.
They do. And, you know, I have to say that there had been maybe three articles total in the mainstream media saying that saturated fat might be okay for you before 2014. Now there's just a torrent of them. I mean, sparked by, you know, new meta-analysis that came out in March and my book, everything has sort of come together at the same time. I just want to let your listeners know that my book was reviewed in The Economist last week, which is an international magazine, and that is the first time that a book review was the number one most emailed viewed story in the magazine ever, and it was by a factor of like three or four times the runner-up article, and it's also the most viewed the second week that it's been out. So there's a thirst for this information, and it is astonishing to see the mainstream media not treating this idea finally like it's quackery.
Yeah, you know. And we've seen the Swedish government turn their food pyramid upside down as well. So that was also a major victory.
Yeah, I know that the Swedish government had a high-level government investigation or quasi-government investigation for 2 years looking at all the data on whether or not fat caused obesity and concluded that, in fact, it did not. They reviewed thousands of scientific studies showing that fat does not make you fat.
Nina, we have to take a short break. I want to share with you, we're getting applause from all across the city. Here's the latest email from Anne Marie. Andy, my mother's 85 years old and is still going strong after eating a healthy diet full of good fats. She has never been on a diet and has been a healthy weight, eating everything in moderation, she has always told me, and you can't go too far wrong. Love your Thursday health show. Nina, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I just want you to summarize this book. If you can summarize a book with how many pages? 500 pages.
Well, 150 are notes.
Okay.
Yes, it's very well referenced.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be back with Nina Ty-Coltz in just a moment. The book is called The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. I will figure out how to hug Nina on the radio. That is the message I wanted to hear, having had bacon and eggs first thing this morning and most mornings, and having this little guilt thing happening. Not anymore. Nina, we'll be back with you in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJB. Oh, what a relief it is. I stole the line from you know which commercial. What a relief it is to be holding a book which is called The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. We're going to put author Nina Ty-Coltz to the test. Nina, could you, in the next 2 minutes, there's the challenge, in the next 2 minutes, summarize, as if the title doesn't give it all away, summarize what is the jaw-dropping new reality that you have revealed in your book about what we've been putting in our mouths?
Well, my book goes through and lays out all the evidence showing that saturated fats in meat, cheese, dairy, butter, or eggs are not bad for health. It goes through all the history, why we came to believe that that was true, who are the players, why did that happen, and it ultimately shows how that whole hypothesis that fat, including saturated fat, is bad for you is not sustained by the evidence and is not true. And it also goes on to show how a higher fat diet, high in fat, low in carbohydrates, is far better for health in terms of your outcome measures for heart disease, diabetes, and obesity. So it goes to the last 10 years of nutrition research to show how the rigorous clinical trials have evolved over the last decade to really demonstrate definitively that a high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet is better for health in every way. I also have a fantastic chapter, I think, on the Mediterranean diet, and I have two chapters about trans fats. And I go through all the history, how when cutting out saturated fats, we shifted our diet over to carbohydrates, which cause people to get fat and give them diabetes and heart disease, and how we also ramped up our intake of vegetable oils, which also have problems, especially when heated.
Now, so you mentioned
a book about all kinds of fat.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a couple of scientists, very, very brave scientists, who back in the 70s and so on were warning society that we should not take this new dietary information seriously. People like Professor Fred Kummerow, Dr. Mary Enig. I mean, these were scientists who were trying to keep the truth alive. And we've had Professor Fred Kummerow on the show, and he's almost 100 years old. And I think you had the privilege to actually meet him, to interview him for your book. You did?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, the story of, you know, trans fats have been in the food supply since 1911. They were introduced as Crisco, but, you know, trans fats have been in our food supply for decades, and research scientists, Kummerow, Mary Enig, started really sounding the alarm in the 1970s, but the story of why they couldn't get the word out is really the story of how the food industry is involved in our nutrition research in very controlling ways. They set the agenda. They control a lot of research funding. They decide who, you know, what conferences are going to happen or not happen. They underwrite those conferences. And the story of Kummerow and Mary Enig are like two lone ranger scientists who desperately tried to get an airing for this issue. And there were literally scientists who would, there was a hit team of scientists organized by the vegetable oil industry who would travel around and shoot down any kind of presentation that Kummerow or his fellow researchers would make at conferences. And so it's a really, those are amazing stories that people, you know, people know that the pharmaceutical industry interferes in research in ways that we don't want to really, you know, that are unpleasant and nefarious and control the science. But I don't think they realize to what extent the food industry is also involved in that kind of research.
There is on the back of your book, Nina, a quote which I want to share. It's from William Davis, the author of the New York Times number one bestseller, Wheat Belly. We've had him on the show. I was at Costco a week ago. His books are still piled up. They're still selling like crazy. He writes about your book, a page-turner story of science gone wrong, what Gary Taubes did in Good Calories, Bad Calories, for debunking the connection between fat consumption and obesity. Nina Teicholz now does in Big Fat Surprise for the purported connection between fat and heart disease. Misstep by misstep, blunder by blunder, Ms. Teicholz recounts the statistical cherry-picking, political finagling, and pseudoscientific bullying that brought us to yet another of the biggest mistakes in health and nutrition. Let me ask you, Nina, is the mainstream media, is mainstream science, are they finally opening their eyes to this new reality, and what role is your book playing in doing that?
There are scientists now and have been for maybe the last year who are seriously reconsidering the idea that saturated fat is bad for health. Certainly scientists have shifted over to better understanding that carbohydrates, that science better supports the hypothesis that carbohydrates, certainly sugar, refined corn syrup, everybody now agrees those are dietary culprits, but even too many unrefined carbohydrates like whole grain rice, whole wheat pasta, whole grain bread, that those are, that too many of those also lead to worsening disease outcomes. And I think scientists are getting behind that. They also, even though they are not loud about it, but nutrition authorities have really changed their tune about total fat. They no longer recommend that you restrict your total fat in your diet, at least in the American Heart Association and our National Institute of Health. But you won't hear them proclaiming that to the sky. I mean, those are very quietly backing off former recommendations. I think that my book is starting to have an impact. I know that, you know, the cover of Time magazine this week, I just learned while we've been on the air, features a story, has a curl of butter on the cover of Time, and my book is prominently mentioned in that article. So, you know, I think the nutrition debate is starting to shift.
But it was Time magazine that really brought up Ansel Keys, wasn't it? Way back when.
Actually, the first mention of that was a piece before my book was published back in early May, and the Wall Street Journal ran a huge cover. Again, the most emailed piece they had ever in recent history had at the weekend Wall Street Journal had a picture of a huge cow on the front. We called it the giving cow because it was the number one most emailed story for 10 days.
Nina, we have about 4 minutes left. I want to use them very wisely. In the first 2 minutes, let's concentrate on the problem. The last 2 minutes on the solution. Give us a snapshot of the state of health in North America? I say North America as opposed to the U.S. I don't want to pick on our American friends. What is the state of health? How bad is it? We hear so much about crises, diabetes, heart disease, on and on it goes. Give us a snapshot, if you would.
Well, I mean, I think everybody knows that, you know, the obesity epidemic is just multiplied in the last 30 years. So has diabetes, heart disease. Although we can treat heart disease better now, the underlying incidence of heart disease, we've barely made a dent in. Plus, there are all kinds of cancers that are, you know, bizarre, perplexing cancers in children we've never seen before. And, you know, I don't purport to know the answer to all that. I can tell you one thing, that in 1980 was our government's first recommendation for all Americans over the age of 2 to start eating a low-fat diet. That was the beginning, that marks the beginning upturn of the obesity epidemic. And so it seems clear that the shift over to carbohydrates away from saturated fats, we eat at least, you know, 11% fewer saturated fats, 25% more carbohydrates. Meat has been replaced by pasta, whole grains, and we have gotten sicker. And it's very hard to deny that just basic common sense that tells you something about how our working hypothesis about what causes obesity and how to fix it is simply not working.
Okay, now, Pam, I want to invite you to add to that, because Nina hasn't touched on the psychological problems we're having today. Mm-hmm. Ask any police department. The number one issue, we just had 3 Mounties killed in Moncton and Brunswick. The number one issue out there is mental illness, mm-hmm. and this strange thing called mood disorder.
Oh, right, and even your caller John alluded to that earlier, you know, talking about the rising incidence of things like dementia. You know, one of the best fuels for your brain is going to be saturated fat. I think your listeners are actually listening, Andy. So I was very, very encouraged by that.
Cholesterol depletion in the brain has been associated with all kinds of mood disorders. In clinical trials, when they put people on high soybean oil diets or safflower vegetable oil diets and took out their saturated fats out of their diet, those people had not only far higher rates of cancer, but far higher rates of gallstones and, bizarrely, all kinds of like accidental, violent deaths, suicides. There was a much higher incident of those kinds of disorders. So, and fatty acid imbalances in the brain, too much vegetable oil, what's called omega-6 fatty acids are in vegetable oils, and not enough omega-3s, the kind in fish. Those kind of imbalances in the brain have been demonstrated to lead to depression and other mood issues, psychological problems.
Nina, one last question. Yes. We have about 2 minutes left. If you could get people started down this path, can you gently push them in the direction? What are the early steps that they need to take, besides obviously getting your book? Which, Pam, is it now out there?
It's out there. It's on Amazon. I think people need to get the book, take it to their doctor, take it to their dietitian, their nutritionist, and have them read it. If you're close with a politician, get your politicians to read this book.
Nina, before you do that, if I take this to my doctor, or Pam takes it, what's the reaction of the doctor probably going to be, just reading the front cover?
Well, you know, we've been told for decades that meat and all those things are bad for us. But one of the good things that I think about my book is that it is an absolute brick of science. There are over 1,000 footnotes in that book. It reviews every single scientific study. And any of the studies that your doctor will know about or will have heard of or will quote to you are in that book and are put in context of the overall picture. So it's a very solid piece of evidence.
You relate to common sense in the book as well, which I was pleased to see.
I try to make it readable. That's the other thing. You know, I really want people, people have called it a nutrition thriller, and that was my hope. I want people to be able to read it and not feel like it's a slog.
Okay, 90 seconds left. They're yours. What's the message of the book? How do people get started?
You eat a high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet. For breakfast, have bacon, eggs, cheese. For lunch, tuna fish, chicken salad, egg salad. For dinner, have some kind of meat, chicken, or fish, but red meat is fine with vegetables. Avoid bread, avoid sugar, avoid stacking up on carbohydrates, and your disease measures for obesity, diabetes, and heart disease will improve radically.
What do you say about the middle aisles of a grocery store?
And I was just going to say, and you won't get hungry. You know, saying processed food is too simplistic. Foods are processed in so many different ways. You just need to eat whole fats in whole foods.
That's right.
Bacon and eggs, you like them scrambled, easy over?
However you want them. I mean, the great thing about the diet is that you don't have to count calories. You don't have to worry about what you're eating. You just eat until you're full, and you eat when you're hungry. There is no obsessing and about food anymore.
Yeah, because saturated fat.
A pleasure.
Yeah, saturated fat satisfies your appetite. You feel sated when you eat.
And you can cook with any hard fat is better to cook with than a vegetable oil because hard fats don't oxidize when they're heated. So butter, ghee, lard, those are coconut butter or oil are better to cook with than vegetable oil.
Now, Nina, do you have
olive oil is in between.
Do you have a website, Nina?
I do. It's called thebigfatsurprise.com. It has all my reviews and media and, you know, interesting links, including links to my cholesterol test, which I had done for a TV show here in the U.S.
Well, I think your book, The Big Fat Surprise, is going to be just as big a hit as My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which people are still enjoying after all these years. Nina, what a pleasure to have you. We thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on your book, Nina. Thank you so much.
Okay, terrific. And Pam, are you really suggesting people get this book and give it to their doctor?
Yes. We have a health crisis, as I mentioned earlier, and it has to be fixed from the grassroots level up. So this is a book that is a good vehicle to educate the people who are misinformed right now.
If Deb Matthews is back as health minister and she has a victory party tonight, I'll give her a little present.
Absolutely. Pass it on.
The book, The Big Fat Surprise. Okay. Actually, we're going to slide into a health-related segment, and that is we're going to visit with the CEO of Farm Boy, the new grocery store just down the street. Pam's going to scoot down there, but Pam's going to stay with us because she wants to make sure that Jeff York doesn't get off easy. She's going to ask him a couple of tough questions about pasture-fed and how the chickens are raised and local, all coming up in just a moment. Farm Boy. The brand new grocery store, which opened in London about 3 hours ago. The CEO is our guest in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Here's Andy Udman.
I mean, I could go on and on, but suffice it to say that in every area, we're really looking at how do we make our product great for our customers and how do we have them feel that if the Farm Boy name is on it, then there's goodness, you know, if we're on the outside, there's goodness on the inside of that product and that we're their advocate for better eating.
Someone was calling recently to ask if you're going to have the big monkey above the bananas.
Mikey, of course. Mikey's up there now swinging away, waiting to greet our new customers.
And so here it is, your chance to meet Mikey. Mikey the monkey above the bananas. What in the heck are we talking about? We're talking about the exciting new addition to the grocery store opportunities for you right here in London today. Farm Boy. Farm Boy has come to town. Who the heck are they? And what's all this fuss about local and fresh? Now, just before we join CEO Jeff York, I have asked Pam Colleen, our nutritional and health consultant, to stay on because she always joins us, of course, for the 10 o'clock hour on Thursday morning. Now, Pam, you're very excited about the store. You're going to go down. I'm going to warn Jeff you're coming down.
Oh, I'm going to head right to the store after we're done the segment.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Why are you excited about this
I'm
store?
Excited because, as I understand from your last interview with him, these guys have done their research. They have been interviewing farmers in the London area, really trying to stick to that local concept. And that's very genuine to me. They did their research. They interviewed the actual farmers.
Okay. Okay,
and it shows a lot of effort.
Okay. Jeff, I appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Andy. Great to be with you.
Well, I'm sending Pam down. I want to warn you. She'll corner you, and she'll have some questions for you.
But remember, Andy, what we talked about last time? We're not a grocery store.
Oh, yes.
We're a fresh food experience.
Oh.
Remember?
We talked
about that.
Yes, and I didn't take notes. Fresh food
experience.
What does that mean, Jeff?
We introduce people to how they should shop, and you come into a fresh produce market, then you go into the back of the store where you have trained butchers with hand-trimmed meats, you have products you can take home, you have, we've introduced into London a tasting food experience station where you can actually eat the product before you buy it. We have a huge salad bar, 60-foot salad bar, all fresh ingredients. And fresh baked breads. It's a fresh experience. And we do have groceries in the store, but we call it more specialty and complimentary items to the plate.
And what's the traffic like this morning? Are you busy?
Traffic is great.
Amazing.
It was a little slow this morning because everyone had to go vote first.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just picking up. It's been really good, really steady all morning, and we're getting tons of great comments from Londoners. They really love the store. They said this is what we need in town, and and our research paid off. It was like we saw a void in the marketplace, and we're taking advantage of it.
Okay, now, Jeff, I don't want to jump ahead and people saying, well, what are they talking about? Where is the store? Just give us the basic facts about your store, where you have the fresh. I'm going to tell my wife later today. I'm home late this afternoon, honey, because I was out having a fresh food experience. I'm imagining the look on her face.
Yes.
But anyway, tell us about the store, where you are, and what you've been doing this morning.
So in South Wellington, 1045 Wellington, beside the Future Shop and Chapters, we're right wedged in between, just north of the White Oaks Mall. Tons of parking. You come in and you can't miss the store. A great big wood front, and you friendly. And Lulu the cow will greet you as you come through the front door, and you'll be introduced to the way, we call it the farm boy way of shopping.
Now, are farmers directly depositing their product at your store? Do you have a depot? How are you organizing it among all of the farmers you're connecting with here?
Yeah, so what we did was we worked through OMAFRA. It was in we had a vendor show where they brought their products to us, and now we're working out supply arrangements. Right now we have 42 local suppliers in the store. We have them sampling the products. We set up a whole front of a canopy area in front of the store where we have like Kosa Moon Natural Energy Bars, May Organics Work Bakery, Youth Opportunities Unlimited are in the store. Got Pine River Cheese, Schinkel's Legacy, Blythe Goat, Gouda, and all the vendors are going to be in the next 3 days with us sampling the products. And then with the growers, what we do is, because we buy a lot of product already from Southwestern Ontario, we've integrated the product into our store. And when you walk around, you'll see local signs identifying each one of the products.
Now, Jeff, last time we chatted, our sales manager, Doug Chard, came up and said, oh, Farm Boy, we had them in Ottawa. Tell us about your other stores and the reputation you have there, because Doug doesn't get excited about too many things. When I bring him a new client, that gets him excited. Hockey gets him excited. Pickup trucks get him excited. But he got really excited about Farm Boy. Why is that? What's the reputation you have?
See, most people treat grocery shopping as a chore. But if you go into a Farm Boy, you'll see men, as many men as women, like we're the closest ratio to 50-50, and at lunchtime we'll probably have more males in the store coming for a healthy lunch. Males enjoy to shop in Farm Boy because it's tactile shopping, and we actually provide service. We have the no pointing rule. So males, we train to look for lost males in the store where we actually bring them to the product that they're looking for.
Sir,
they
can I take
you? Male look.
Could I take your hand, sir, and I will gently lead you? Okay, so no pointing. It's way over there in aisle 37.
We're taking you to the product.
Wow.
Yeah. And a few of the things, like the reason in Ottawa, while we started with Jean-Louis Belmar, my partner, we started 1981 strictly in a 300-foot produce stand in Cornwall, Ontario. And over time, we've integrated products that go with the fresh experience. So we introduced fresh meat, fresh deli. Like, we have deli people that actually say hi to you. They'll cut the product to your specifications. I think we have 6 or 7 local deli producers, because it's a big deli area down here, and we've added them into our assortment down here. And you can actually sample it before you buy it. You go to the cheese department, you can get something cut before you buy it, because you're not going to waste money on something you don't like.
We have a tradition. You say that you have a tradition, you don't point. We have a tradition on talk radio. We always welcome callers. So 643-1290, if you would like to talk directly to the CEO of Farm Boy, the fresh food experience, which opened in London at 8 o'clock this morning. We have to take a short break. We'll be back. The phone lines are open. Be back with Jeff York, and your questions are right here in London today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Kids are starving in Japan, so eat it, just eat it. Don't wanna argue, I don't wanna debate. Don't wanna hear about what kind of food you hate. You won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate, so eat it.
I'm not sure that the CEO of Farm Boy, Jeff York, would have agreed to join us this morning if he'd known we were going to play that song, but let's go right to the phone lines and hear from you this morning. Questions for the CEO of Farm Boy. Are you intrigued so far, Pam?
Oh, I can't wait to go down. I'm going to be there 10 minutes after we stop the show.
Okay.
But I'm curious to know, Jeff, you talked about meeting the vendors. Are there going to be the actual producers there so people can meet the farmers themselves?
Well, right now with the farmers, most of them are busy. Like, mm-hmm. they're not during the day. So most of what we have in are local suppliers that are producing within the immediate vicinity.
Jeff, I have to tell you, last time you were on, every phone line lit right up. And the same thing this time, Brad and Rain and Greg. So let's go to Brad. Brad, what's your question or your comment for Jeff York, the CEO of Farm Boy?
Good morning, Andy. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. Just a quick comment. I was actually in the store this morning, and I was totally impressed with the whole store, everything about it, except for the loud music that was playing. And it was almost like you had FM 96 or something just blasting through the store.
That would be annoying.
It's just totally counterproductive to the enjoyment of a store like that.
Okay, let's start with the positive.
Kind of nip it in the bud if I could.
Let's start with the positives. Did you meet Mikey the monkey?
No, I didn't see Mikey.
Did you see Lulu the cow?
No.
What
no,
did
I enjoyed a lot of the free samples, and the food was incredible. Bought a bunch of stuff. And
Brad, what is it that attracted you to Farm Boy?
I think the farm-to-table type atmosphere. The fact that they're getting local food, and that's always been a real high point for my wife and I. In fact, to this point, we've shopped at Sunripe and Remark here in town because of that particular facet.
Wow. Brad, I appreciate the call. Let's go to the next call. Rain, go ahead.
I just want to say thank you for coming to London. I have family in Ottawa, family in Kingston. Both families, when they visit us in Huntsville at our cottage, they bring food from Farm Boy. Glad you're here. Greatest place in the world to shop.
Jeff,
thank you.
Jeff, take a bow.
Yeah, that's great. We'll turn the music down, too.
Rain, did you see Lulu the cow or Mikey the monkey at Farm Boy this morning?
No, I'm working. We're going to be there this afternoon right after we go and vote.
Okay, all good for you. Good for you. Let's go to Greg. Greg, have you been to Farm Boy yet this morning?
No, I haven't, Andy. I plan on going down. I just had a question for Jeff.
Go ahead. Talk to him directly.
Sure. Jeff, are you going to be... carrying any local organic food products from the many organic farms in this area?
Right now, the organics we're learning the supply base down here. We put the Organics Work Bakery in. We put all their complete line of products in. And what we want to do is we want to learn. We were told by everyone that there is not a big organic business in London. And I tend to disagree with that. I just think people aren't doing it right. We have to put on our thinking cap, meet the people, get established, and then integrate the great product from the area into our store.
That sounds great. I agree with you 100%. I think there is a movement in the local area for organic food. And, that's good to know then. I'll be looking forward to seeing
great.
Some of that on your shelves in the future.
Thanks, Greg. Pam, you wanted
to... I think it's a great opportunity to consolidate the local organic producers. It may be something that needs working on. I know that there's somebody in the Kitchener-Waterloo area doing that. And even down in the Niagara area, there's some kind of effort in that direction as well.
Yeah, and I think that's what has mm-hmm. to happen. We use Fieldgate Organics for our meat. Mm-hmm. And the biggest problem with organic is consistent supply. So the way it's worked is with the organic dairies and the organic meat is they actually form cooperatives. And when they form a cooperative, then they can have enough consistent supply so that we can put it in the store. The worst thing we do is when we put product in the store, the customer loves it, then we can't get any more. So organic, like everyone wants organic, but people have to start thinking about how does it work for the retailer. And we're small enough to listen to people and actually deal. It's just dealing with the Fieldgate. One of the executives from Fieldgate, and I was talking to him about we need organic chickens in our store cooked, so people can taste how much better an organic chicken is than a conventional chicken. And he says, okay, we got to put in our supply chain. So this guy went back to his factory now, and he's going to get a whole line of 900 gram to 1 kg organic chickens. We're going to charge more for them, but I think people want that mm-hmm. because the taste is just so far superior.
It is.
Jeff, what are some of the comments you get from people who shop at your store that you most treasure in terms of what they appreciate?
What we love is the genuineness of a customer that says, thank you for offering things the way we want to eat it, we want to cook it, things like that, is we're meeting a need and we're ahead of the curve.
Now, we need to talk about a couple of issues with food right now, and that has to do with the fact that it's asparagus season,
yep.
It's a strawberry season. Are you able to access strawberries right now and asparagus?
You got to come to the store. Mm. Our front page item is fresh from Ontario asparagus at $1.99 a pound. You're going to love it. And right beside it, we have a huge display of strawberries.
Oh, good.
And
they were late this year, weren't they?
Pardon me?
They were late this year.
Well, everything, right? We didn't really have a spring. Like, it was a long, long winter.
Jeff, I'm warning you. She's got a remote car starter. She just started the car. Yeah. She's trying to end this interview so she can get down there. Jeff, let me ask you this. Who is your competition and who is not your competition? We've heard one of the callers refer to Sunripe and Remark. We've heard about the Goodness Me, which I think is an interesting name for some stores down Hamilton Way.
Jerry Remark, he runs a great store. And said, "Will, I know them. They have great stores in town. We take it a notch up in terms of the food experience.
But don't forget that the demand for local food is rising.
Yeah.
And, you know, Remark and Sunripe are two stores. We need more stores like yours in order to fill the demand.
We have five stores planned for London over the next 3 years.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I just got to get the tape rolling for the newsroom because here comes the news clip, and that was my next significant question. You're opening one store in London today, but you have big plans for London.
Yeah. See, London, we look at, in Ottawa right now, we have 12 stores, and we have room for 14. That's what we see. Right, all our stores, they do well. They're in neighborhoods. London, it's very hard to get around. The people like to shop in their areas. It's tough to get across town. There's no highways to get. So we want to put stores into the region. So right now we have the store in the south we picked out. We have one in the north and one in the central. We're going to get one in the west and one in the east. And that's our five-year plan. We'll have two more next year and hopefully two more the year after that.
Wow, so that's amazing. You're opening one store, and you're already saying that your goal in London is to...
There's five.
What's the average age of a farmer that you're meeting out there today?
Pardon me?
What's the average age of a farmer today here in Southern Ontario? I'm just saying there's room for young people to get into agriculture.
Yeah, there's another voice going on in the back. I couldn't hear what you're saying.
Oh, sorry. I was just asking the average age of the farmer here in Southern Ontario. And the reason why I'm asking that question is because I see room for opportunity for young people to get into this as a business.
Absolutely. I tell people, like, the younger people are getting it. If you want to get into a business where there's going to be unlimited demand, is get into either organic or organic greenhouses, strictly organic instead of doing conventional, and then getting into organic poultry. Like, organic poultry and organic greens have a distinctly better taste profile. And there's going to be demand. If you read what's going on now, there's this line of organic product out there called Blue Goose. You'll see it in Loblaws and things. And people, their biggest concern right now is finding enough product so that they can put it on the shelves. Walmart's launched an organic line. You got Wegmans down in the States. They're up looking at Canadian farmers, looking for organic. So I 100% agree with that comment. Is agriculture can take a huge lift in this area by concentrating on organics, because our biggest problem, we can't get enough of it.
What is the biggest trend right now when people are looking for their food, Jeff?
The big thing is no added preservatives. Like, I want clean decks. I want to be able to pronounce the ingredients in my products. I want to know what's going into my body. That's number one. And I think number two is gluten-free. Like, everyone's, like, with wheat belly and things, people have trained themselves that they're intolerant to gluten. My only problem with that whole movement is they're replacing the gluten with sugar. So they'll eat a whole thing of gluten-free cookies, right? But it's loaded with enough sugar for 2 days of sugar consumption. So they're solving a gluten problem but creating a diabetic problem. And it's exactly what happened 20 years ago with removing the fat from the diets. With the good fats were removed with the bad fats, and we created a whole bunch of diabetics. And it's crazy because you had to keep the taste in the product, and removing the fat, they put sugar in, or whatever they want to call it, fructose, sucrose, all these different things. That I think we have the biggest health problem in the future is going to be diabetes. And it's a looming health crisis with the aging population.
I tell people that to prioritize their eating, to buy local over organic, because as you mentioned, there can be some limitations where organic is concerned. So it sounds to me like you're basically leaning in that direction, is to really focus on buying local.
Yeah, and organic, the one thing about it is the strict rules, and you could be cheating yourself by not eating local and only looking for organic, your organic could be coming from California or your local, right? In the season now, you'll see almost our entire produce, at least the vegetable side and some of the fruits, all switching over to local now. And the organic shopper says, I only want to eat organic, but it's not coming from Canada. And I think there's a whole, like your honey, we have a whole section of honey from the local honey producer. You should be eating local honey. It carries the right antibodies in it for your system.
Right. When I read the labels of some of the commercial honeys out there, some of the honey is coming from as far away as Argentina, for crying out loud.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, we have our Farm Boy honey that we launched in Eastern Ontario. But when we came here, we met the local honey producer. We gave him a huge section. And he said, put your honey in. We'll put our honey beside it. And let's see what sells, right? But invited them into the store.
Jeff, we're almost out of time. Let me ask you this. I talked to one of your marketing people this morning, Carolyn Trudell, and I remember from our conversation from last time, you have a focus not just on the product, but a fresh food experience.
Right.
Just a word about the people. You've just gone through this whole hiring process. What were the two or three key ingredients you were looking for in the people that you've hired for this store in South London?
We were pleasantly surprised with. So when we hire staff, so we hired 160 staff to start up the store. Generally in retail, it's high turnover. We lost seven people. Seven. That doesn't happen in retail. And it just talks about the quality of the London, the hardworking. And we had lineups for our job fairs. We had over 1,000 people show up for the job fairs we had and online. And those are the people we went through their resumes as well and sorted through. It was probably over 3,000 people were looking for employment. But the great thing is we're overstaffing this store because we're training the people to open our next two stores. So people that we've hired, we said, come on in. We'll give you as many hours as we can, but we're going to train you to be future supervisors and leaders in our next two stores we're going to open in the spring.
Wow. Wow.
That's exciting.
Jeff, a real pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, brace yourself. Pam Killeen is coming down, and she'll corner you, and she'll have more questions.
All right, great.
Which is why we love her. Jeff, have a great day.
Thank you.
A grand opening coming up.
Saturday.
Saturday morning. We're soft opening today and tomorrow. But Saturday morning, we're going to have lots of things for the kids between 10 and 2. Come on by and enjoy the day.
Does Lulu the cow talk?
No, Lulu doesn't, but the farm boy or farm girl beside will.
Does Mikey the monkey do the woo, woo, woo?
No, he only spins.
He only spins.
Because as one customer said, our music's too loud. He couldn't hear him anyway. So, yeah.
Jeff, a pleasure. Thank
all
you
right,
so much.
Thanks. Congratulations.
Okay, away you go, Pam.
I will.
Okay, terrific. You can tell us about it next week.
I will.
Okay, short break when we come back.